6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Chief Justice Gertrude Tokono is going to be home for the foreseeable future as a five-member committee investigates the claim made against her by several persons who are calling for her dismissal as Chief Justice of the Republic. They cite a number of conduct that they believe constitutes stated misconduct, for which reason they want her out. But on Ghana Connect tonight, we ask whether or not this is truly a legitimate exercise in constitutional due process, or is Ghana witnessing a politically motivated witch hunt against the head of the judiciary? And as the legal processes unfold, the Constitution and past Supreme Court rulings have strictly mandated that all proceedings be held in camera, in complete secrecy, until a final determination is made. But in a democratic society as we have in Ghana, where public trust in institutions is such a vital commodity, many have been left wondering, should Ghanaians be kept in the dark about these processes when it comes to the Chief Justice? We confront the tension between the constitutional silence and the public's right to know. Plus, we also explore whether the current judicial removal, Chief Justice removal process, is serving the people, or politicians are weaponizing it to achieve a certain end.
When they say something, it's primary facie case, which means
he has a case to answer.
Mm. But the constitutional instrument here is whether or not not all primary facie case are true and are.
Well, we'll come back after this break. We'll talk about prima facie or whatever you want to call it. There's a lot to unpack on these matters right after this break. My name is Kweku Asante. Stay for details. Welcome back to Ghana Connect. And when I said prima facie, it wasn't that I was buying, as some would say. It was because of this. But for those of you just trying to catch up, listen to all of this, and then I will introduce to you my guest on this matter of prima facie. This man said it better.
It's primary facie. When they say something, it's primary facie, which means
he has a case to answer.
Mm. But the constitutional instrument here is whether or not not all primary facie case are true. And I'm not a lawyer, but I'm a student. I'm not a student of law. I did a great business.
Staying stuck somewhere you don't belong.
You have held up in this onslaught. And I realize that what has held me up is the assurance of competence. No decision that I have made in my role as Chief Justice or in my capacity as President of a panel of the Supreme Court has come from anything but a knowledge of law. No matter how many noises are made, the law is the law. The only answer one can give to all the hand waving is the legal answer.
To your spouse and child, unlimited, 1,500 times a year. But you can't go on a vacation on two occasions with these same people. How absurd. It's unbelievable.
Oh, come vacation. What has that got to do with the state coffers? If you are sending your husband and your daughter on a vacation for holiday, why should we pay them per diem? And you, a Japan minister, you are defending this.
The responses given by the CJ convince you. And so, to you, there can't possibly be a prima facie case.
Absolutely. One of the reasons why people are asked to step aside pending the outcome of the investigation is so that they do not take advantage of their positions of privilege to interfere with the investigation.
Business in coming in strongly They try to defend her as if she's one of them.
So yeah, that is the lowdown following the prima facie determination by President John Dramani Mahama, which has subsequently culminated in the suspension of Chief Justice Gertrude Torkornoo, Justice Paul Bafoboni, the longest serving currently on the court, is acting Chief Justice. But talking about prima facie, again, I like this pronunciation better.
When they say something, it's prima facie case, which means...
He has a case to answer.
Mm. But the constitutionally instrument here is whether or not all prima facie cases are true. And I'm not a lawyer, but I'm very, very much... I'm a lawyer, but I'm a student. I'm not a student of law. I did a great business.
Alhaji Osman Audu, MPP's third vice chairman, giving us his own versions of stuff there. But connecting with us on this important conversation, because it's a really serious issue, and I'm really interested in getting to know what people think about opening up the process and Article 146, and also when it comes to removing certain constitutional officers, so that everybody really can see it for what it is. Julius Kwame Anthony is with the Presidency Communications, is connecting with us on this matter. Julius, it's good to have you connect with us. Hello, Julius, can you unmute? Aaron Esiedu Entry founded the Law Lab. He's also connecting with us on this. Aaron, it's good to have you connect with us.
Thank you very much, Kweku. Good to have you too.
Comfort Echama Entry is studying the law, and she also connects with us. Comfort, it's good to have you connect with us. Comfort. And also Trinity.
Yes, I'm here. Great. It's good to be on the show with all of you.
Great. Comfort. Thank you for joining. And then Trinity Zomelo, chaired the Senate of the University of Ghana Law Students Union. He's also connected with us. Trinity, it's good to have you connected with us. And also the vintage Ernesto Yeboah, always interested to get to hear him on some of these topical national issues. Ernesto Yeboah is the commander-in-chief, really, of the fighters, economic fighters like EFL. Ernesto, it's good to have you connect with us.
Good to see you too.
Great. So, Ernesto, let me start with you, and very briefly, I want to go around the table on this. And on Ghana Connect again, we want to do this as interactive. When someone makes the point you disagree, you want to add up, you can always chip in around this round table. You can always put your mic on. Let's be as civil as possible, and let's have a conversation on this. 055-111-997. For those of you listening, that's the WhatsApp message. Ernesto, what have you made of the process so far, from start up until now, that the Chief Justice has been asked to go home?
Well, Kweku, thank you very much. And good evening to you and to your wonderful listeners out there. Hello to all my panel members. I think that historically, there's always been a difficult relationship, I mean, of the three arms of government. And in this case, I'm talking about the executive, the legislature, the judiciary. These conflicts have always existed. And given that we are following the Westminster system, it is to be anticipated. Look at the theories that brought about this kind of system, as one worthy for the running of modern states. You go to scholars like Montesquieu, who argued that he said that liberty is to be found where there is no abuse of power. But constant experience has shown that one man invested with power is liable to abuse it. It is therefore necessary in the nature of things that one power be checked against the other. And so the theory of it shows President Mahama simply applying what Montesquieu argued, in separation of powers, leading to checks and balances. But the reality and the politics of it also reveals that it is not completely without prejudice. But how is one able to prove this? I mean, the 1992 Constitution, Article 1466, all the way to 1466-10A, it spells out the processes. And so it is difficult to establish that the president is in violation of the Constitution. On the contrary, the president has actually kept the dictates, has stood to the dictates and mandates of the Constitution. Well, somewhere in 2023, thereabout, he gave a political promise that he was going to part the judiciary with NDC judges, given that the then sitting president, Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, had parted the judiciary with MPP judges. And so as far as some of us are concerned, on the real politics of it, President Mahama is simply trying to fulfill an electoral promise. And in the context of party politics, I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. And so this conversation...
Ernesto, hold it there for me. Julius, you've heard Ernesto Yeboah there. He's spoken about the utterances of John Mahama during the campaign. And in fact, it is the NDC that literally coined the term Unanimous FC as a nickname, a very pejorative nickname for the Supreme Court of Ghana. And so he says, the NDC really laid the blueprint for it. And in fact, if there's any mistrust in the process, now it may be due to some of the remarks and rhetorics of no less a person than John Mahama at the time he was in opposition, your national chairman and other persons. I want to know how you react to that briefly.
You know that when we are going into elections, issues that are of concern to citizens of the country are all put on the ballot by the candidates who are running for election. In the lead up to the 2024 election, one of the issues that was of concern to a lot of Ghanaians is the nature and character of the dispensation of justice in this republic. I have coined a term, the injustice of peace, that has characterized the judiciary in the last 8 years, is something that any well-meaning Ghanaian who actually wants to see it would see. And there are several instances that I can cite to show that term that I have coined, the injustice of peace, over the period. For purposes of time, I would use two of them. You remember the case involving the former Auditor General, Daniel Domelevo, who was unjustifiably and unlawfully forced out of office by President Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo. And then you remember the case of Alexander Afenyo-Makin, who was majority leader during the tenure of President Akufo-Addo, now minority leader. In the case of Domelevo, Court of the Republic of Ghana chose the pace of delay. In fact, the Domelevo case was dispensed with over a year after he was unjustifiably removed from office. However, in the case of Afenyo-Makin, the court saw the need to exercise some speed. And so I have come to the conclusion, and so did so many Ghanaians, that there is a certain new form of injustice you can suffer in this republic called the injustice of convenient pace. So the court chooses pace, the kind of pace they want to move on with, depending on who has brought a matter before them. That injustice was noticed by all citizens of this country, and that injustice was what President Mahama put on the ballot. That President Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo had loaded the court with justices who over the period have deployed certain tactics that serve injustice to certain class of citizens. And would I even call it justice when the pace only favors certain categories of people, you know, to some categories of citizens?
Julius, it's interesting what you said. Please hold it there for me a brief second. I want to hear from Aaron. Aaron, Julius responds to Ernesto Yeboah's concerns about some of those commentary and the real politics about this. Is the conduct of the Chief Justice itself and the conduct of the Supreme Court in some parts. Do you accept the premise of the argument he has made?
Kwaku, to me, please.
Hello, Aaron.
Yes. Kwaku, thank you once again. Let me first greet my co-panelists who are already articulated their views, and much respect to the senior Ernesto Yeboa. He started on a very good premise on referring to a fountain of legal wisdom, that is Montesquieu, who speaks about separation of powers. And separation of powers in the light that there shall be three arms of government whatsoever would be having all their powers whatsoever, clearly stated in our constitution. Now, the point over here is that when Ernesto Yeboa mentioned clearly and stated that the removal of the CJ is only a fulfillment of a political promise President Mahama made sometime in 2023, Julius, on the other hand, has not denied that promise. And actually, that is playing out. But the point is, Julius has coined a term and making an argument that there is a pace at which the Supreme Court works on certain cases and others. Julius should understand that, pursuant to our CI 47, that is the civil procedure rules of the High Court, you get to know that there is an order that provides for delay and adjournment. You see, the focus of the CI clearly tells us one thing, that the court...
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
In regulating or dealing with matters, would not deliberately delay matters. The CI, one of the objectives of the CI is to ensure that there is a fast pace of delivery of justice in our system. And so when you go to courts, the court ordinarily has a control over the process. However, justice equally must be served when others are filing other motions and others. Then again, the issue of the Attorney General, the Auditor General should not even be looked in the light of even politics, because the issue that was coming up was quite critical and was a constitutional
Aaron, not matter. Aaron, do you not see the I'm struggling to find a word, so let me not pick any word. If Afenyo Makin goes to court one morning, Julius, hold on. If Afenyo Makin, as minority leader at the time, goes to court in the morning, and by 1 p.m., he has a panel sitting on his case. There is a matter having to do with e-levy, which in fact has never been resolved, and e-levy has actually now been repealed. Do you not get the sense of what the public perception would be about a court that decides Domilevo is hounded out of office, he's asked to retire, and then civil society organizations go to court? Then it takes 4 years, 3 years to resolve that case. At that time, the man had actually retired, and the judgment is really just theory. It will not have any practical effect. Do you not see why people will be concerned about that, as Julius is alluding to?
Kwaku, your work as a journalist is to do three things: educate, inform, and entertain. Probably you are in the best position to educate. Now, the point over here is that what was the issue that related to the Auditor General? It was not just saying that you are handing the person out of the office. Now, the point is, the person had issues of date of birth and others. I don't even want us to build the conversation over there. Where I want us to look at is, what was the issues Afenyo Makin was in court? It was for an injunction, and you would agree with me that even with your politics back then in the University of Ghana, you would clearly have an injunction even been passed in some minutes. So you see, in as much as we are looking at this issue holistically, all I want us to understand over here is that the process for Julius to tag the judiciary as having coined a term of a certain piece it is going, I've already mentioned that our court procedures provide for how delay and adjournments must be dealt with. And so that is where the matter has been brought to a rest. Now back to the removal of the CJ. As Ernesto rightly put it, the president is following the process. Just that I have only one issue, that is on the suspension of the CJ. Why do I have an issue? Kweku, the CJ is a CJ of the people. Rightly put, Article 125 plus 3 of our Constitution 1992 mentions that the judiciary is willing to execute or make sure they deal with judicial matters, and the power of the judiciary is emanating from the people. You don't sack a chief justice of the people without involving the people. So it is no wrong that the drafters of our constitution mentioned that, yes, the president, you have the discretionary power under Article 146 clause 10 to suspend the chief justice after the establishment of a prima facie case. However, the same constitution, and so what JSC has taught us in school and attorney general, that when you are reading the constitution, you don't read the constitution in part, you read it in whole. And when you read Article 296 clause C of our constitution 1992, you get to know that when you are exercising discretionary power and you are not a judge or other judicial officer, you need a constitutional instrument or a statutory instrument. You know why, Kweku? When you go in for the constitutional instrument, you get this constitutional instrument from the people, the representative of the people.
Right. I see the point you make there. And Aaron, please hold it there for me in terms of how you're able to take this through parliament and its maturity into law and all that. I want you to hold it there for me. Comfort, you've seen the process unfold right from the start up until now. Aaron is raising constitutional issues, particularly as it relates with the suspension of the Chief Justice. Have you seen anything untoward with the process as has been used so far, and what are your views on it?
Okay, thank you very much for this opportunity, and shout out to my panelists as well, my other panelists. Okay, so I would say, for me, I'm speaking from a legal perspective, and I'm taking a lot of caution here in saying that the steps that have culminated in the suspension of the CJ is in accordance with constitutional procedure and processes. Because just like Senior Aaron and Senior Ernesto have alluded to, the constitution per Article 146 from clauses 6 to 10 provides for steps that can be followed when there is a need to remove a justice of the Superior Court of Judicature or even the Chief Justice herself. So from the processes so far, I've seen that there was a petition, three petitions actually, that were lodged with the president. And then the president, after in consultation with the Council of State and then the committee, established a prima facie case. And then after the establishment of the prima facie case, led to the suspension of the Chief Justice. And then I think in the audios that were playing before we joined, I heard one individual trying to explain what prima facie means. So as a law student, I would try to explain what prima facie is. So
okay, comfort. Because you just mentioned that, I want you to hear what you talked about.
When they say something is prima facie case, which means
he has a case to answer.
Mm. But the constitutional instrument here is whether or not all primary facie cases are. And I'm not a lawyer, but I'm a student. I'm not a student of law. I did a great business.
So yeah, that is Alhaji Usman, the APP third vice chairman, trying to do the explanation. So please go ahead and do the briefly for me explanations as you want to do. And let's keep it as streetwise as possible. Tomorrow, something okay. The lawyers will do it at Newsfile. Let's try and keep it as understandable as possible.
All right. So for me, prima facie means simply on first impression, on the face of it. So if we say a prima facie case has been established against you, then we are looking at the facts as it is. Whether
there has been actually a case has been made against you, and then in the absence of evidence to the contrary, you will be held liable for whatever claims have been leveled against you. Please, is it clear? Or I should break it down further?
Oh, very clear. That is as down as it can be. I like your explanation as you've made it. So briefly, do you get any sense that any process has been breached so far? Do you get any sense, or you think so far the processes have been duly followed as outlined in Article 146?
Well, for me, so far, the processes have been duly followed. This is not the first time a petition has been brought against an incumbent Chief Justice. So I don't know why in our republic, in our part of the world, everything has to be made political. Everything has to be painted with political colors. And then I really like the submission that was made by Senior Ernesto. He took us through the trajectory, the history of how we even got this particular article in our constitution. It is not only in Ghana where we file petitions for the removal of chief justices. It happens all around the world, right? And then so I feel like even a requirement of being a justice of a superior court of judicature is that you should have high moral and proven integrity, high moral character and proven integrity. And you would, you know, bear with me that before anything else, the Chief Justice is a lawyer. And then according to the legal profession, professional conduct and etiquette rules, 2020 LI 2423, rule 1C provides that it is the duty of a lawyer at all times to uphold the dignity and standing of the legal profession. So my brother, when you see lawyers have a higher calling. I'm a law student. I'm learning the profession, like the trade of the profession. We have a higher calling to act honorably and with utmost integrity. So if you become, in the course of the process, you become a chief justice, right? You are not, you know, excluded from that requirement that you should still act honorably and with utmost integrity. So if citizens of this country think that as a chief justice, you've indulged yourself in a certain conduct that calls for your removal, and then the petition is filed, and then the president actually goes through the process, and then maybe it leads to your suspension. I think it is right.
I think it's right. Trinity, I want to hear from you. What do you make of the process so far? Very briefly. Hello, Trinity Zomelo.
Yeah, hello.
Let's hear from you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Fiku. And then good evening to my fellow panelists, Julius, and then Comfort, my schoolmates at Legon. Anyway, so I've heard the arguments made by Julius and then also Ernesto and then Comfort. And I tend to agree with Ernesto and then Comfort more, because when you look at the processes which are outlined, there's no breach of any provision, right? One might argue that the processes are a bit too, let's say, overbearing from the executive side, as in, can the president just stand up and then suspend the chief justice? I mean, it just seems so, not so separation of powers, you know, in that sense. But when you look at the statements by the Ghana Bar Association, you realize that there's actually nothing untoward which is happening. And so the president received petitions, forwarded those petitions to the Council of States. They established that there was a prima facie case to answer, and so in consultation with the Council of State, they established a committee. And so once that committee has been established, the president can, you know, per the powers given to him by the Constitution, suspend the Chief Justice. Now, I believe that that provision needs to be looked at, because it is too simple, you know. The president, who is, you know, we have three arms of government, the judiciary, executive, and then the legislature. Now, the head of the executive can just stand up. Nothing has been established, right? Only a prima facie case. Nothing has been that has been alleged has been proven. And simply because of the formation of a committee, you know, the Chief Justice of Ghana, who is the head of the judiciary, can simply be suspended. I think a great look needs to be, you know, or I mean, it needs to be looked at for justice to be, you know, properly served. Yeah.
Ernesto, let me come back to you. There is still a lot of politics, and you are diving into that political angle. The MPP and four other political parties are embarking on a demonstration in May. why do you think this has become such a political process? Because, as we all know, this is not the first time a Superior Court judge, of course, this is the first time a Chief Justice is going through this process since 1992. But this removal of constitutional bodies' heads, and we've gone through it several times, the Tiger PI issue, the Loretta Lamte, that colleague here, Samson Lai, did a lot of good work on. We've gone through this. It comes, it goes. Why do you sense that this is set politically charged?
Well, because, Kweku, it is a political situation. What we have is not a constitutional situation as such. It is a political situation. Now, you have a very powerful executive controlled by President Mahama and the NDC. I mean, if you look at the electoral results, it speaks for itself. And if you look at Parliament, this executive controls Parliament to the point that the opposition party that is represented in Parliament is negligible. And therefore, the NDC and President Mahama can do their business comfortably without the MPP. So, arms of government are completely taken over. And you see this all-powerful executive moving towards the usurpation of the judiciary. And so this is what creates the political, because he's not violated any constitutional, injunction, like we have pointed out. And like the brother who spoke before I'm speaking, he was saying that, look, it's very easy to remove the Chief Justice. Yes, maybe that may be a failing or a fault in our constitution, but really, Mahama is not wrong. The NDC is not wrong. They are simply following the dictates of the constitution. And if we have to change that, which is also one of the reasons why we have advocated for a new constitution and not necessarily an amended constitution. Because if we talk about an amendment, this is an entrenched provision. It has to go for, referendum. And you can't have more than one issue presented at a referendum. It's an expensive process. And so what is going to happen is that we would have to leave it in the books. Whereas
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
The idea of having a new constitution altogether will then bring into existence what we call the elected constituent assembly that can now sit down and, based on the hopes and aspirations of the people, write a new constitution, which would not, take us through a time-wasting exercise of referendum after referendum. We are talking about changing certain structures at the local government level. That would require referendum. We are talking about, so there are many provisions in the constitution that would require referendum. And that's why the Constitutional Review Committee may not be able to exercise, the full vision as Ghanaians, feel and envisage in founding of a new constitution. So
okay.
I would advise all our followers, those in the Economic Fighters League and those who sympathize with us, not to waste their time on any useless frolic in embarking on any demonstration, because the NDC and President Mahama as far as I am concerned, are not legally wrong. They may be playing a political game, but they are not legally incorrect in how they have. And look at the constitution of the committee setup. These are people who equally feel aggrieved, who have been, some of them have been sunk by the same system. And they are there. What are we expecting from them?
Hold it there for me briefly. Comfort, let's do some hypotheses. And we know that this process is supposed to be in camera. It's supposed to be secret. We'll get to that around the round just when we're about to end this show. But if you were told that a Chief Justice in, say, Nigel Gaze's voice, Umuofia, has a travel policy that says, when you travel on official duties, you can pick one other person of your choice and we'll pay for them as a state. However, on private visits, private travels, we'll only pay for you, cap 14 days, and pay for your security, but you have to pay for it. And that Chief Justice pays 250,000 cedis to buy tickets, allegedly, for the husband and daughter, and also pays them 30,000 per diem from state funds. Do you think that is ground enough to remove a Chief Justice, the head of an arm of government?
Okay, so with the travel policy and everything, it's a policy that governs the judiciary, right? So I think if there has been a breach of any provision in the travel policy, then it's grounds. It's part of the grounds. And if you read, follow the trend, it's three petitions. It is not just one. It is not just the travel policy breach. But then there is also, there was a petition on the outcome of the Afenyo Makin case, and then the speaker going ahead to declare 4 seats vacant. And then there was another petition filed by an assistant commissioner of police where he said the CJ caused his unlawful arrest and detention.
False
imprisonment. So, the petitions are manifold. So, we shouldn't just base on the travel policy to say that, oh, it's a minor or it's a minute, it's a trivial breach. So, a whole CJ who is the head of the judiciary cannot be removed on that basis. And please let me correct something. She has not been removed. She has been suspended pending the final determination by the committee, the 5-member committee, right? And even after the committee brings the report of its inquiry, the president still has the option to either adopt it or, let it go.
No, so, in fact, just like you're stating, when it comes to the committee's report, when it does come, whatever recommendation they make, the president will be bound by it. And I think that's the point we're making. Very, very grateful for that. I want to bring in Trinity and then Aaron, and I want to take their views on that. Then I'll get a response from Julo. So let me start from you, Trinity, very briefly on that point and some of the grounds that have been raised, and knowing the confidentiality of this process, that is why I tried to use an Umuofia kind of situation to try and give us some safe haven to be able to open up on some of those matters. Of course, like Comfort has said, the petitions are manifold. There are a number of them. The grounds are a lot. Trinity.
Yes, thank you very much, Kweku. I believe that when you look at the petitions that were sent to the president and then the response, alleged response by the CJ to those petitions, you realize that, in my opinion, there's nothing of substance in those petitions, right? One of them was about the marking case. And then I think that's what Ernesto said, that, the CJ has a prerogative, to decide when to call this case and when not to call this case. When it comes to the ACP's case about handling him, arresting him, or dealing with him in whatever manner, I think Article 127 absolves the CJ, from being personally liable in any action or suit or whatever matter to, any court decision. And so you can personally blame the CJ or try to remove him or her because of a court or Supreme Court decision. It's not possible. The Constitution expressly absolves them of liability. And so nothing, even when it comes to Daniel Lofori's petition about the spending of the money. She realized that in the travel policy, paragraph 9 expressly says that the CG could travel and then a spouse or somebody could go along, you know, with her. So there's...
For official travels. That is what the travel policy says when it comes to being accompanied by a spouse or a daughter for the state to pay. But the same travel policy says if it's unofficial, like a vacation, you have to pay for yourself. And for the benefit of everybody, let me quote paragraph 9 of official travel by the Chief Justice. It says, the Chief Justice shall undertake unlimited official travels with either his or her spouse or other person of a choice, fully funded by the judicial service. That is official. But when it comes to personal travel, it says, where the Chief Justice embarks on a personal or private foreign travel, he or she shall be accompanied by the security alone in terms of the funding for funding by the Judicial Council. Does that make any difference for you?
Well, I mean, it does a little bit, but then the CJ in her response actually alluded to the paragraph 9 that she took authority from that paragraph, and that's where she traveled with the spouse or the daughter. So I think we can all agree that to say that we are removing the Chief Justice of the Republic of Ghana based on the fact that instead of private travel, you know, official, she went on official travel and then she took a spouse, I think that is too low of a standard. I think that is too much. Anyways, I do believe that. Due to certain happenings, you know, over the course of her appointments. I mean, there's this saying by Lord Hayward in a UK case that justice must not only be done, but justice must be seen to be done. Now, I believe the second part of that statement.
Okay, please hold it there for me. Please hold it there for me. Let me hear from Aaron and Julius, and then we can just come around the table again and wrap up. Aaron.
Well, cool. Article 146 is clear to tell us that the proceedings in this matter should be in camera. The presidency has assured us that they have not whatsoever lead any petition. So I'm not going to respond to whether the petitions are out or not.
Even if I give you a hypothetical situation, you will not respond.
A hypothetical situation would only make my statement prejudicial to the work of the committee. My simple answer is very simple. It is that Article 17 plus 1 is clear. Everyone is equal before the law. Where the person flouts the law, take the person through the process. Where the process is in camera, let's stick with the in camera process. I agree then again with my senior minister that there is a need for us to consider a constitutional amendment whatsoever in the process. Because you see, the appointment of the Chief Justice is by the people, because the Chief Justice submits himself, him or herself, before the representative of the people to be vetted and approved. Why would we allow the removal not go through the same process to have the people speak through the process? It is why Article 296 then again comes in for the president to have acted on a CI, and that CI would come from the people. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with the process. The process has run smoothly up until the suspension ignored Article 290.
Well, I'm already getting messages of people asking where CIs were issued in some of these quasi-judicial functions when other persons were removed. But hold it there for me, Aaron. Please hold it there for me. Julius, let me hear from you as we prepare to wind things down.
On which of the issue anyway, but you prevented me from winding up on the last issue I was touching. I want to make the point clear that the fact that I am saying these issues were issues that were put before the electorate do not necessarily mean that they form the basis for why the process for the removal of the Chief Justice has kicked in. There are clear legal procedures that are being followed, and every single person you have spoken to on here has admitted to one fact, that the procedure is in line with law. Where I disagree is the low standard that we think we can set for people because they are in high office. It's so shocking that if I were in a common administrative position in the government of the Republic of Ghana, and per your hypothetical, funds which are intended to go to my security person, I decide to give it to my family members, I would be facing consequences the likes of which will not even attract any sympathy from anybody. But we are saying, I mean, per Trinity Zomelo, that because the person is Chief Justice, how are we doing in Ghana? What ethical standards are we setting? If the issue is true, and I am interested in knowing what the committee finds that on that particular issue, whether or not it's true. And for clarity, there are rationales behind every law that we make, including policies. The travel policy says that if, one, you are going on official travel, which is limitless, because the Chief Justice does not determine how she gets official travels. It is the duty that imposes the official travels on her. And so she can't do anything about it. So the rationale is that there's no possibility of it, you know, being beyond measure. The state will find it along with two other persons of your choice. That is the rationale. The rationale behind your private travels being limited is because when you're on your private travels, the state cannot pay for persons who accompany you. Aaron, if you allow me to land, please, with all respect.
It's all this energy.
With all respect, Aaron, with all respect, let me land. Now, you go on a private travel. The rationale is that on your private travels, you should go with only your security, such that any other person who follows you, you must take care of it yourself. You tell me that if the person interchanges this and goes on a private travel but gets the state to fund it, it is not a threshold for which a person whose duty requires integrity, whose duty requires truthfulness and honesty, and all of this. What standards are we setting over here? So for me, if this is to be found to be truthful, the office of Chief Justice is the very office that someone who does that should not hold. So please, let's stop this setting of low standards, low ethical standards for people all the time because they are in high office. What's the meaning of this?
Right. So, Julius, the last point I want you to make, and I'll ask everyone around the table the same thing. Is it time to review the process regarding the secrecy of this? Because then it leads to a lot of comments, side comments, small things. This is what is happening. This should be in the full glare of the public. The committee hearing should be telecast. Of course, but in the future, should we get to the point where we do that?
You know, I understand the rationale behind the secrecy. I mean, from the Tiger IPI case.
Because if the president were to be impeached today or tomorrow, everything that pans out to be in the full glare of the public. What is it about the Chief Justice or a Supreme Court judge that must be in secret, but the president should be public?
If you would let me, I buy the rationale about the reasoning of the court in the Tiger IPI case because, you know, judiciary and the dispensation of justice depends so much on public confidence. And in cases where the matters that are being brought forth do not lend themselves to any, you know, what do you call it, evidential conclusion.
But that's where the prima facie, case time will lead it
out. If you would let me conclude, you would understand. If you let me conclude, in such situations, you put the justices in a situation where they cannot ordinarily be in the public space and be responding to things like politicians in the executive. The president can do that. But if you put the justices in such situation, it's difficult. But I am of the view that if we would remove the issue from the hand of the executive, in my papers, the IEA, that is the proposal I made, that the process in the hand of the executive, for me, is problematic. If we will remove it from the hands of the executive and give it to the legislature, where there would be a legislative
made up of 275 partisan people,
is set.
What is the difference between the president? What is the difference between the president and a house of 276 partisans?
Because in that instance, the representative of all the people would be there.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
The president is the representative of all the people. They voted for him. I'm asking you a question. I'm not trying to cut you.
I'm saying that in the case of the president, when the process remains like this, and it is the president that is presiding over the process, but you create a situation where there can be public discourse, there is no opportunity, for example, in the case of parliament, where both sides can debate it, where we can hear those views. It becomes the justice who ordinarily cannot come and sit on radio and be speaking to why this issue is not against or this. It creates a problem for them. But if you put it in the hands of the legislature, all the full representative of the people of Ghana can speak to it, and we can hear the views from both sides. But if it's in the hands of the executive, but you make it a public discourse, it becomes problematic. We can't.
When I talk about public discourse, what I mean, Julius, is allowing this process to be public. For instance, why should a petition be secret? Why should the responses of the Chief Justice be secret? But I hear you on that. We have just about 1 minute, 30 seconds to wrap it up. Julius, please hold it there for me. Let me ask your colleague panelists, touch and go, briefly. What should we do with this process in terms of amending and making it public? Do you agree or not? Briefly, let me give you the word, Aaron. 30 seconds. Hello, Aaron. I don't think I have Aaron. Zomelo, can I have your brief opinion on this matter of perhaps making this process public so that, I mean, concern will not be flowing under, people are not, this going on.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I was alluding to a saying that justice must not only be done, but must be seen to be done. And so I believe that part of that saying, in fulfillment of that saying, we must make these proceedings public. I strongly believe that the public should have a view into the camera, you know, whether it's in camera or not. The public should actually see what is going on so that we can, when the process finalizes, we can all appreciate the fairness and then the justice that was involved in the whole process. So it should be made public.
Right. And Ernesto, let me hear from you on that.
Well, I agree with both Julius and Aaron that the processes must be made public, and also a bit more difficult for the CJ to be removed, because currently, as the architecture finds it, it looks very easy. I should just hit the CJ's, how do you call it, sight or body language to just let me instigate any action, I mean, of the sort. If I were to advise the CJ on what to do now on this, I would say she should simply resign, because the odds are stacked against her. I mean, there is a one-party state, I mean, de facto forming up against her. I mean, executive control, legislative control, and the processes are in the hands of the executive to ensure her removal to take over the judiciary. If she sits down and allow the committee to sit and come up with their findings, then it becomes binding that, well, a committee found you guilty of so and so charges. But if she resigns, then she avoids the permanent stamp that can be placed on. As far as I'm concerned, this is just a political, how do you call it, play scorecard, and she should not allow herself to be used for that experiment.
Beautiful, Echama. Let me give you the last word on this.
Okay, thank you. So before I go to make my point, I would like to briefly hit on something Senior Ernesto said. So,
please, Ernesto is okay. Ernesto is okay. No, senior, I'm Ernesto.
So I've been thinking, it's very rare for a public officer, right, a government appointee in Ghana, to resign on his or her own. So, I mean, if you are advising the CJ to resign, somebody who, if my facts are right, somebody who came out to respond to the petitions, well, I don't think she wants to resign.
Right. And I think a lot of people see that. A lot of people say the Chief Justice is going to fight. And that is what is going to happen on Newsfile tomorrow. The CJ suspended. Unusual. Galamsey, what's new? Diana Asunabadapai, former Deputy Attorney General, is on. Alhaji Inu Safuseni, a former Member of Parliament, is on. Professor Bafua Jimendia, governance expert, he's on. Oliver Bakavomao, activist, he's on Newsfile tomorrow, and Kojo Akotobuatin, all of them discussing the Chief Justice suspension issue and also Matters of Galamsey. Thank you very much, Comfort. Thank you very much, Ernesto. And thank you very much, Julius Kwame Anthony, Aaron Essiedu Entry, as well as Trinity Zomelo. Listen, this conversation hasn't ended yet. We are going to have a lot of it. And then I'm sure we can bring together this same panel. Andy Dusty is up next with the only school in music on radio, The Library. Last week I was listening and I was enjoying it. As always, you don't want to miss. Please, let me also leave you again with Prima Fasica and a lot of the issues that have come up.
When they say something, it's Prima Fasica, which means...
He has a case to answer.
Mm. But the constitutional instrument here is whether or not, not all family Fasicas are true. And I'm not a lawyer, but I'm a lawyer, but I'm a student. I'm not a student of law. I did a great business.